Blessings of Light, and welcome today to Astrophysics Class 2-4. This is the last lesson in the second month, Color Your Life. I hope you've all been sharing together. Now today's lesson, we're going to be discussing the aura, the energies of the aura, where one looks in their aura and what they receive by what the places that, I mean the places that they're looking in their aura, and what color of clothes and the colors of the surroundings and what they mean to the individual. We're also going to be discussing today body language and the chakra cover-up. But before we start that, I would like to commend you on your sharing. I know you all are sharing now freely at the beginning and at the end of every one of these lessons. The beginning of the lesson, you're sharing with what you experienced during the week. And at the end of this lesson, you're sharing your meditation with the group. This does give strength. It gives power and light. And it will have a positive effect on your life. In the power of the aura, there are four sheaths. In the power of the aura, there is four. The individual, there is four sheaths of consciousness. The finest, the most subtlest sheath is called the spiritual sheath. Next is a more dense called the mental sheath. Denser than that is called the astral or emotional sheath. And then there is the physical etherical sheath. These four generations of energy have within them seven different qualities. But when you are looking in the aura, you may not distinguish all of these sheaths. You may only see one of these sheaths. If you are just beginning and getting in depth of consciousness, you may just see that little sheath around the head of an individual. Just the outline of the body. Just that outline when the sun is set and you look at the mountains and you see that outline along the mountains. That is called the etheric aura. And this sheath is generated by the heat, the life, and the light, and chemical ethers of the body. They generate this aura and manifest it very closely to the physical body. Now, in a vibrant person, someone that has a lot of health and vibrance in their body, this sheath will stick out 3-4 inches. In some super vibrant athletes, it's out there 6, 8, 10 inches. This power of this sheath can be transferred to another individual in healing and give virility and strength to their aura. When a person is withdrawn etherically, you will find the sheath getting smaller and smaller, and it may be very close to the skin. And you may see someone withdrawn etherically that their skin looks very powdery and dull-like. There's no shining to them. They're not glowing. You know how we say some people are very brilliant and some people are kind of dull? Well, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about the brilliance of the shining of their aura or the dullness of the withdrawing of that aura and radiating it outwardly. So the etheric aura is just around the physical body. Now the emotional or astral field that is around the body, and I have two specifically directed arrows here, one emotion and one to subconscious mind in this auric field. The third one, it is like the egg about you. Around your whole body, there is an egg shape. Now, eggs are actually round. The reason they look elongated, they're forced out of the fowl or out of the reptile. And they take on this elongated form. But if you look at some fish eggs, you will see they're very round. And so a real egg around you is really round. But most people are not round. They are this oblong egg shape. And so when they have expanded and start expanding their nature, they get rings or round circles about them, like an adapt. But before that time, they're caught much within this egg. It's like breaking the shell on the cosmic egg, so to speak. And so you have this shell around you, this auric field of energy flowing around the whole body, above it, below it, on the left, on the right, in front, and back. It is all the way around the individual. And in that auric egg of the astral field, the emotional body, there is generated all the feelings and the consciousness of the subconscious mind, your dream states, those kind of things. They're all carried around with you. And when you experience, you exercise those outwardly in consciousness. And so your outer aura can change to your moods, and you may see this light flashing around an individual. You might get a tint of light over their chest or over a leg or over a part of their head or something like this. A movement of light as the astral force moves. So it's a substance which is seven times less dense than the etheric substance, and the etheric substance is seven times less dense than the physical substance. So by sevens, we are getting finer and finer and finer. So 7 degrees less dense than the physical is the etheric aura, and 7 times less dense than the etheric aura is the astral aura. We also have the mental aura. It interpenetrates this whole egg. It interpenetrates all the egg all the way around you, and it is in your mind, you could say it's in the same location as the astral body. But see, it's like two hands that are intertwined. It means that these little specks of essence of the mental body and the specks or cells of the astral body, they're interpenetrating. They kind of cooperatively share the space. Because see, the emotional body is still part of mind. It means movement of mind. And so it is a quality that we are looking at in mind, separate from the other qualities of mind. And it does have a definition and a purpose separate from the rest of mind too. So it is a transitional energy that goes from the emotional energy, is a transitional energy. It goes from mind to the body, from the body to the mind. It's a kind of floating back and forth, a movement back and forth in energy. What we've done is we've defined particular areas in the aura that signify or can give you a clue into these sheaths. The final sheath up here is the spiritual sheath. Now the spiritual sheath is a very fine sheath. It's all fine out on the outer edges of the aura. It is very fine. It takes an adept, someone at the heart level or above, to even perceive this spiritual sheath. You have to be at a high heart level, a high psychic level, a high spiritual level in order to be aware or awakened to this sheath or be able to comprehend it or see it. It can radiate out in all directions to a great expansion, or it can be very close to the individual depending on their spiritual expansion. A master adept has a sheath, a spiritual sheath that reaches out from his aura to infinity in every direction. So you may be in a lesser attunement of your spiritual energy. You may have just attunement to a certain type of field, a certain religious structure or line. But for the totality of the Spirit of God, the breath of life, you are reaching out in purity and the clarity of your spirit to all things infinite and eternal. So this sheath, this auric sheath that we are working with, this first one, is generated by these four areas of consciousness: the physical consciousness, the emotional consciousness, the mental consciousness, and the spiritual consciousness. But remember now, there's really, in fact, only three sheaths: the physiological, psychological, and spiritual sheath. But we have deciphered here, separate from, and are looking to interpret the aura from an emotional point of view. By looking with an eye of seven, you start segregating the mental body even more and get more levels to consciousness. But the basic structure of the aura is this field of etherical light about you, the astral light about you, the mental light. Now the mental light seems to accumulate in its most brilliance around the head. And so many times you're seeing a great being, they have a light around their head, you see. This means their mental body is illumined and it's radiating consciousness over the brain of the physical body. And as it radiates over the physical body, it's a brilliance and it is illuminating the mind, it's illuminating the brain of the individual. It's an illumination or realization. So you may see golden halos around an individual or white halos around an individual because they have this expansion of the mental energy. Now just here in the chest area of the individual, as you gaze into this part of the aura, you pick up the energies of the subconscious mind. Now, one of the keys to staying attuned and being aware of this energy is to watch the breath. You can sit in front of a mirror and watch your own breath and watch yourself go through different moods and different feelings. And as you do, you will notice your breath changing. This key to the subconscious mind, when people are talking about certain things, they are releasing within them the vibrations of the subconscious mind. And as they release these, they draw a like kind. It becomes a magnetic fluid, so to speak. And so as we are progressing and expanding in consciousness, we generate into these fields of consciousness, and especially into the subconscious area, so this glows a little brighter. Now, don't get this confused with the generations of the energy of the heart chakra. I'm talking about an essence that's in the astral body, which is this egg type. Now, when you're out in the astral body, it may not look like an egg. You might see yourself flying along with just a pair of eyes. You might only be eyes. Or you might just be a head floating along. Or you might be a head and part of a body. See, you don't need any of that form. But for security, many times you take some human-looking form because you feel secure in that. You see, some of the mystics used to take on configurations like birds or animals or the wind or the fire or one of the elements and move in that energy and transfer their astral form into that type of body, into a body of water. See, it doesn't have to be necessarily into the body of your eyes or the physical looking body. So this astral form here has a high vibratory rate to bring you into awareness of the fourth dimensional energy, while the etheric physical level is giving you perception of the third dimensional energy. And then you're moving into the fifth dimensional energy in that mental body, and then as you reach into deeper levels of mind, you go into deeper and deeper dimensions. And so you are reaching into deeper and deeper and deeper dimensions until you reach the interdimensional phase of consciousness. And the interdimensional phase is the spirit. Now see, all things are floating in the spirit. So just imagine that all the objects of creation are floating in a clear crystalline sea of infinite consciousness, the breath of life, the spirit of God. Just imagine that all material things are floating within the spirit. Now you're getting a composite in your mind, a picture of bringing a form in that will give you a relationship with this consciousness. But the picture is nothing like the relationship. It's only a vague idea to move you towards that relationship. It's like your first ride on a roller coaster. It's like sticking your finger in a light socket for the first time. You get a big jolt of energy because you are jolted off of your little self and little position to a universal interdimensional phase, which then gives you access to see in other planes and dimensions and phases of consciousness to your awakening as far as the Godhead, if you wish to look at the very presence of the kingdom of God, which is here about us and touching us at this very moment. So these auric sheaths around you are generated by your feelings, your thoughts, and they change with the moods, this outer one. But there is also an inner part of your consciousness. And most people are reacting from this inner part of the consciousness more than the movements of the outer sheath. In this inner consciousness, for those that are on the path, the first thing that happens is they start correlating their aura to having it in specific bands of energy. Now before this time, it's like an egg and it can have light in any part of the egg. It's not necessarily very distinguished this way. But by the gravitational pull of light and substance on the inner planes, because there is a gravitation there, just like there's a gravitation in the physical universe, gravity here on Earth, there is a gravitation that pulls you into the sphere of human consciousness and spiritual consciousness. In this inner auric field, usually those on the path or had educational or correlating or organizational qualities given to them as a child, you will find that their inner aura is on these levels of consciousness. Now a master's aura will not be on these levels, it'll be in circles. It'll be like a sphere within a sphere within a sphere within a sphere, and it's much larger. The larger the aura, the more awareness. See, because you can only perceive that which is in your aura. You can only perceive that which is in your aura. Now I want you to take a moment and contemplate the sun. Just put your mind on the sun, and every time it goes to drift, just bring it back to the sun. Notice the sun. Now you might be looking at a sunset. Don't look at the sunset. Look at the sun from the universe. Now unobstructed by the turning of the world. Okay, it's a constant radiance there, isn't it? Well, as you're watching this, you have opened your aura to encompass the sun. You couldn't even get a picture in your consciousness without touching the object itself. If you see evil, evil is in your consciousness. It has touched your consciousness. As soon as you see it, you've touched it. It is in your orb, so to speak, in your aura. So this movement of consciousness from the physical to the emotional to the mental to the psychic to the creative to the individual to the universal levels, all of these sheets inside have a generation from the pulling in of energy from experience of the outer world and pulling in energy from the spiritual world, and it builds this field of light within. These chakras correlate to this building of this field of light. So in the lower part of the auric field, there is an inner field. Now see, we're saying inner and we're saying outer, but see, there is no inner and outer. It's just this dimension and then the higher dimension. It's not like you're going inside something, because a lot of people think when they go inside something, see, inside would be confining. If you went inside your head, how can you see the universe? You see, but what you do is you go through yourself, which is the doorway to the universe, and you go in through yourself and out in the universe. See, Christ said, I'm a doorway that no man can close. He didn't mean he's the only doorway, right? He means that each of us, as our Christ consciousness, we are doorways into higher dimensions of consciousness. So this inner auric field is actually a doorway into a higher area of consciousness, a higher level of manifestation. So as you generate energies from your chakras, they fill up this inner field. And they have particular vibratory rates for that specific level. And so a like attracts a like. The things of the physical will be in the physical level. Things of the emotion be in the emotional level. Things of the mental are in the mental. See, you know what is mental, and you know what is physical, and you know what is emotional, and you know what is psychic, and you know what is creative, and you know what is individual and universal. You know these things, and by your very knowing, you have correlated them in your own consciousness. See, to know is to correlate, to have a category, to categorize, to put them in the levels that they belong of experience. And so what is happening is the levels of experience, due to the densities of the color, are formed within the inner auric field. Now you can see how one part of this field might affect another part of the field. You may have the mental affecting your emotions, your emotions affecting the mental, or energy being passed down from a higher level to a lower, from a lower to a higher level within yourself. You're constantly generating energies. And this is an accumulation, this inner auric field. Now the outer auric field we were talking about with the four sheaths, that changes with moods and thoughts and feelings. Now many people read that aura, they read that changing one, and they say, gee, you look different to me this week than you did last week. See, but if the individual was looking at the inner field, they say, I see you've grown a little bit since last week, or you've grown a lot, or whatever the case may be, because you'll have more accumulation of light in a particular area, and that can be recognized. And so accumulation, you know when you have one cup, and then when you get two cups, you see the accumulation. So this is a field from the psyche of the inner consciousness of the individual, the psychological field, the mental field, and see it is the mind that holds all things in form. So the mind is holding this whole energy in form on its various levels of expression. And you can have blocks in any one of those levels, and you can have depletions in those levels. You know, I've seen people only awakened up to the green level. I met a woman once and she had no blues or violets or golds or white or any higher colors in her aura. All she had was reds and yellows and orange, and a lot of the orange was dark orange splashes, and it was a very disorganized aura. And it was very disturbing to become that, see? Because when you're a true reader, you lose your identity and you just become that auric field. You merge with it. You let your light body be within that location and be in the sufferings of those rays so that you can have direct experience with them. See, you can remotely look at something, or you can be a direct channel. See, there's direct or reflect. What are you going to do? You're either going to reflect it or you're going to direct it. So as you look into the inner auric field, you will begin to see how the aura is correlated. And you can see many times it may be a right and left movement in here, where the individual on the active side of the aura, right-hand side of the aura, the outer world side of the aura, has more activity than they do on the inner side or the subjective side of the aura or the left side of the aura. And so the left side of the aura deals more with your universal fields, your subjectivities, how you feel with others, and in your unity with others. While the right-hand side of your field is dealing with how you relate to the world, how you take it personally and how you feel it personally. So you can have things cluttered in one side of the aura. Now, when you have balance between your worlds, between this outer world and with your inner world and that, then these are balanced along here. But if not, then you may find them segregated into two or even three areas. Most people I read have these three areas. They have the part that deals with the world, they have the part that deals with spirit and all the others, and then they have this other part that they just don't know. It's neutral. Some just don't know. Some are neutral there consciously. Some are masters and stand in the middle path and keep that straight and narrow middle way clear and pure, the Shishumna or the current that receives spiritual consciousness and energy. And if they do that, then you'll see this band up through the center. Sometimes people aren't very much out in some body, so they may only have a little bit on one side, and they may be very spiritual and have a lot of energy on the other side, and maybe a little band in the middle. So they might have two little bands and a big band. So these bands can shift back and forth by the degrees in each one of these fields as well. What I usually do when I'm reading an inner auric field is I start at the top with the life that comes into the individual. See, I start with the pureness. His life is given to everybody purely. So you're not, your life isn't any different than my life. I mean, life is life. And a life of tomato, a life of a human being, life is life. A life of the dog, a life of Christ, life is life. The eternal life, it is life. See? And so you are living this pure life, and then you qualify it. And it's like this pure, clear, crystalline essence, this luminous essence is in you. And then you qualify, you put something over it, like a sheath over it. And now this light has to shine through the sheath. Now, I'll tell you, if you want to do an experiment, take four bottles and put, you know, your coloring from your food coloring. Put water in there and put food coloring in there. And then take a flashlight and shine through the bottle and shine it up on the wall. If you have a red food coloring in there, you'll find a red light on the wall. If you have blue, you'll find blue, and if you have green, you'll find green. If you have yellow, you'll find yellow. Now, if you put two bottles next to each other, a red bottle and a yellow bottle, and you shine through, you know what you'll get on the wall? Now, you don't get orange, you get yellow. You'll get the last ray in there. You'll get the last ray shining on the wall. There may be a subtle hint of the others, but the major energies will be the last ray that the light is shining through. So whatever the last ray you have covering you up is the first thing you react out of when something comes to you. So if you're covered with emotions, then you act emotionally right away. If you're covered mentally, then you act mentally right away. If you're covered spiritually, then you act spiritually. If you're creative, you act creative. If you're crazy, you act crazy, you see? Whatever happens, that's it. You know, when it comes, it's going to accelerate whatever you are, this pure life, and you're going to generate that outwardly. So you accumulate, and this flow of pure life is coming to you, and then you qualify it, and that's how you accumulate energy. You keep qualifying it by your actions, by your feelings, by your thoughts, by what you know, what you believe, what you see, what you are. You keep qualifying this beautiful, pure life. There's a great master named Saint Germain, and he said, you know, this pure life is like little tiny faces, like little balls of white light, and they all have little tiny faces on it. And they're all smiling, saying, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. See, they're there to give you unconditioned service. But then what happens is someone feels love and they say, it's my love, and they take and they capture them little smiling faces. And you know, sometimes the smiling faces aren't smiling anymore because they've been captured for years and years and years. People's going to hold that. See, prosperity and abundance is flow, flow, flow. The more you give away, the more you'll get. Now there was a man, he was, he's the biggest philanthropist in the world. You know what he's given away so far? $40 billion. He's a Japanese man. And he gave away $40 billion here in his life. Can you imagine giving away $40 billion? I bet you don't even comprehend those kind of figures. This man gave that much away. You know, so you can't say there's not abundance for God's people. There's not abundance for the human beings upon this earth. There is abundance. Where are you concentrating? Are you failure consciousness? Or are you, I am a success, I am a success, I am a success, I am a success? Wow. What are you doing? What are you making repetition at? You see? Because whatever you're repeating over and over and over again, you become a magnetic charge in your aura, and you draw that to you. You keep drawing it and drawing and drawing it. And you may be wondering, why am I facing those old things over and over and over and over again? You didn't let them go. If you do not have it in your aura, if you cast it out of your aura, if you return it to the universe, then you are free from it. That is forgiveness. You don't bring it up again. It's not brought up against you again. You're cut free. You're salvation. Glory, glory, hallelujah, whatever you want to say. You can get excited, whatever you want to do when you let these things go. Or you can be very quiet, and these were just very quiet, and let things go away. And we stay in the presence of God, concentrate in the presence of God. The more you concentrate in the presence of God, the higher quality your aura is, until it becomes a diamond. I mean a radiant, faceted, a light and energy essence that is radiating out rays, and is sending forth those rays from within itself. It is glowing within itself. It's illumining to all that's about it. It gives its light out to all things. It is the hardest, most unbreakable form in the universe. You have that diamond quality of consciousness by your quality of being one with God. How many times has your mind drifted away from God today? In this last hour, are you aware of God? Are you God presence? When you are, your aura will show it. There's no fooling the seer. You may fool others by putting on an act in this outer field of some contrived thing that came from inside. Fantasy and non-reality. But the real is always seen by the masters of truth and of love and of wisdom. God sees you all the time. You are never alone. So in your auric sheath, you are seeking to generate a pure, clear, white auric field. Attunement. You throw off the old and you attune to the new. You hold it to you. The aura by nature is magnetic. All energy, all healing, all consciousness is in essence magnetic. It has a magnetic quality to it. It likes to go to its alike kind. Birds of a feather flock together. In your auric sheath, we are working now to understand exactly what this means. Now let's just take a look here at this particular stick man. I notice he doesn't have any eyes. Well, he doesn't need to see anyway, and he doesn't have any mouth or ears. But I think he will serve the purpose for us at this moment. What is happening here is that we have shown you the different levels of the person's aura. This is very important to know, because the individual will point to that part of their aura that they are in. They'll say me, or they'll say me, or they'll say me. They'll point, or me, they'll say me and point to some part of their aura. If you gaze in the same part of the aura that they are looking at, you will pick up the same information. If you look at the same part of the aura that the individual is looking at, you will pick up the same information. So when an individual is looking all the way down in their auric field, all the way down here at the feet level and watching feet, then they are very physically orientated. They're bound by physical consciousness. And they're only conscious to those things that are very close to them. See, by their own angle of perception, they have eliminated the broader view. They have brought their view down. And so there's some people, you watch them, they walk down the street, they're looking at their feet. They're not looking out to see where they're going, they're looking at their feet. And when other people come by and look at their feet, And somebody, if you walk up to that person, you may know him, you touch him, say hello, and they go, oh, I didn't even see you. And then they come up and they put on the face and everything, yeah. And then you walk away from them, you watch them, They go back down and walk along looking at their feet again, you see. Well, people return to that part of their aura over and over and over again. That's why we keep saying, raise your gaze, you see. Uplift your gaze, because you want to move up. Someone looking a little bit further down here, like that little tire that some of us get here, that's emotional energy. And that energy there, of the individual, it has within it the structure of the emotional consciousness. If someone is looking in that area, is picking up information there and giving out information there, if you look in that same area, you'll pick up the same consciousness. But you must be an open, receptive receiver. That's why you must control your attention, your concentration, your observation, your meditation, your contemplation, and super consciousness. That's why you practice red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, gold, white. Blue, gold, pink, white, green, golden, ruby, violet, gold, white. You practice these things because you would not have a matrix in your mind or consciousness to pick up that vibration without practice. So as you're looking up, someone looking at navels, someone looking at the hearts and chest areas, someone looking at throats and mouths. Ever have someone watch your mouth and throat when you're talking to them? You know, and pretty soon you're looking at your lips there. What's he looking at there? See? Then some people look you right in the eye, right at your face here, super conscious. There's some that look just a little above your head there, spiritual energies. So wherever the person is looking, that's where they are penetrating with their gaze. That's where they're picking up information. See, so wherever the person looks or points to in their aura, including yourself, you will begin to understand where you're coming from. And you might have thought you were coming from someplace you are not at yet. And you may have been suffering from illusion in the delusion. Let me stimulate my third eye here. All right. If you want to stimulate a chakra, touch it. Touch it. Bring your attention to it. People will touch their chakras. They will touch this. They'll reach out and touch your chakras. They'll reach out and touch you. I've seen many a young man with his arm around his sweetheart rubbing her spleen, or the small of her back, or her root chakra, a little fanny there. Some of them right there at the wheel center. They get married, they get a little higher. See? And then after a few years, they're walking side by side. They forget the touching. You know, you have to keep the touching up too. That's communication. It says more than words, a lot more than words. When you touch someone, it's deeper, deeper, and closer to their physical body than words. Just look at it. It's a heavier, dense energy. It's heavier and dense than thoughts, astral form. And when you touch with emotion, you have a deep touch upon the subconscious of the individual. So as you are looking here in these parts of the aura, looking to the left or to the right, remember if you're looking to the right, you're on the assertive side, the aggressive side. See, and that's this right side over here. But see, if you're looking in the right side of the brain, then you're looking at the opposite. Because it's the right side controls the left side of the body, and the left side controls the right side of the body, and there's a switch on the sides of the brain. But the aura doesn't switch. It doesn't say like, here is a, this is all, this is aggressive, down from here, down, and then up is passive. It doesn't work that way. The aura has this definition of positive and negative and neutral universe in it. It has an assertive side, it has a passive side, it has a neutral side. It has Ida Pingala Shashumna, as it's known in the yogic sciences. So these three lines of energy qualify the auric structure as well. The man in you, the woman in you, and that neutral being in you, that really enlightened spiritual being that is a diamond looking at it all. Not the ego that gets caught in between the positive and negative. You know, the ego gets there and gets crushed. It's like, did you ever step into the door and the door closed on you like an elevator or something? Well, that's what happens to the ego. But just magnify that about 10 or 15 times when an ego gets stuck in there. Boom. And he gets crushed between his positive and negative side. You've had that where you just didn't know what to do. You wanted to go punch him in the nose, but you'd rather kiss him. You see, those kind of things. Well, that means you're crushed in the middle between this, I want to do it and I don't want to do it kind of thing. and you're hanging out in no man's land. This isn't crystal consciousness of an ascended being. This is the lower consciousness of an ego bound in personality and at the whims of his feelings and thoughts and actions. Now there's another point. If you want to know about body language, the language of the body, the chakras are the keys to body language. Whatever chakra the individual's covering up, whatever they don't want you to see, whatever they don't want any penetration in, they'll cover up, you know. They'll cover those centers up where no one will penetrate. If you say, what are you doing? You say, well, I'm comfortable this way. Did you ever see anybody walk around this way? And they say, I'm comfortable. See, because they got it's closed off in the back, you see. Some people sit around like this. They don't want, you know, if you start talking about God, they're going to close off their crown chakra. See, if you start creative power, they may not want to change their creative power or peace. They'll put their hand up here. See, if you, they say, would you tell me about these things? I really want to know. And then they go like this. This is a sign saying, I just closed off my heart. You see, this is a closing off. So wherever the individual is closing off in their chakras, in their energy centers, wherever they're closing off, real tight closed legs and, you know, all this stuff and bent over and doubled up. Some people just, I mean, they're doubled up in their chakras. They're hurting because they don't want any energy to come in and move it. See, it hurts to move it. Or they don't want to get off that position. I'm fixed here. Don't change this chakra, you see. And if you go to change it, they go to defensive reaction. You see, and if you could persist in pushing on that chakra, then they will go to the combating state, see, and then adrenaline will flow and they'll either flee or fight, and you have to be careful because you don't know which one they're going to do. You can only push some people so far, and then they're going to get you if you don't watch out. So the chakras, each one of the chakras in the body is a area of nerve ganglia. Why do they protect these areas? They protect them to protect the vibrations that hit their nervous system. The nervous system is an antenna. It is the central nervous system that generates the etheric energies and the etheric body. It is the autonomic nervous system that generates the emotional sheath in the aura. It is the mental generation of the mind of the individual that generates the mental aura there. And that is the sympathetic level of the nervous system. And then when you get to that finest level, that parasympathetic level, where light rejuvenation is, this is that spiritual sheath. It's the spiritual sheath that's around you. So see, the four parts of your nervous system are generating the four sheaths of the aura. Now remember, the two that we have in the middle there of emotions and mind, this is an equal portion here. Sometimes we take it as separate because of the overdevelopment of emotional energy. You know, some people are very, very emotional. The women they cry or they get happy or, you know, they're just suffering from mood swings all over the place. Or mental swings. They're very sure and then they're not doubting, you know. They have these mental swings. And emotional swings, I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down, I'm in, I'm out, I don't know where I'm at. And if you hear someone talk from an emotional state, you will hear the sounds of their voice as they talk to you and make these very definite sounds that they want to be sure you get the point. See, I may have exaggerated that a bit. But if you listen to the sound, you will get the emotional language. When I was studying Zen, we had to do an exercise where we eliminated the words that were coming at us. Now see, you can filter things in your mind. You can cut out things. Have you ever watched television and people come in the room, you never even heard them come in? They said, do you want something to eat? You were watching the game, you were watching the soap, you're watching something, the mini special, and you know, you were engrossed. You didn't hear them. And go, oh, what? What? Then you tune them in, you see. So you can consciously tune in and tune out things in your mind and in your consciousness. You can tune them in, tune them out, tune them in, tune them out. You can be with something or separate from something. You can be objective by yourself or subjective. And so this aura has a subjective, objective side. It has an inner and outer. It has an up and down movement. It has a contraction and expansion movement. All of the chakras have these very same movements. And by that up or down of attitude, by that feeling nature, by your thoughts, you're generating the fields of your aura. Now, if you want to see where someone is at, you've had some color interpretations. You can see how the reverse of those interpretations in the Mao form would be. If you just look at things, look at the reverse of each one of those rays, you'll see what the Mao form is. And so that's the dark side of the ray. And then there's the light side of the ray, you see. And we gave you the interpretations to the light side. When you are looking at someone, you must see if their colors is light or dark. If they're wearing dark colors, they have depression of the spirit. They are withdrawing. They're holding back. They're not letting go. And it takes this opening for growth. You must be able to let go. You must be able to let go and let God. You must have this faith for your aura to change. So if you have these dark colors in your aura, in your clothes, get rid of them. Put on some bright colors. You see, brighten up your nature. Brighten up your aura. Begin to attune to the positive in the higher parts of your mind. Positive emotions, positive thoughts, positive actions, positive feeling, positive knowing, positive creativity, positive super consciousness, positive spirituality, and your aura will brighten up. The closer you are to God, the brighter your aura gets, till you're a radiant beacon of outpouring light, not an outbeacon, but a radiant beacon of outpouring light, you see. You might be outbeaking, I don't know. Has anybody been outbeaking lately? Anyway, it's important that we have humor on the path, too. For if you're too tight, too tense, everything will really jar you. But if humor gives a little relaxation to your aura. So one thing the masters tell us on the path is to develop humor, to have good humor. And I don't mean the ice cream. So chakra cover-up tells you what level of consciousness they're covering up. They cover up the root chakra. It has to do with their security, their sexuality, their senses, the things of the red level. If they cover up the emotional body, the subconscious mind, that spleen chakra, they cover that. You ever see anybody sit around like this with their hand over their spleen? I've seen people sit around with their hand over their spleen. And they're sitting there and they're talking and this and saying, how come you're sitting like this? Oh, it's comfortable. This is the way I always sit. I'm comfortable this way. You say, well, why don't you sit like this? They say, well, this feels more comfortable to sit like this. Because they're protecting something. They're protecting that chakra. They're protecting that chakra. They're holding out any vibrations coming into it. And, you know, they may have different areas they're talking about. Oh, my God, what am I doing? Ah, you know. Or, yay! You know, they're really happy for everything and everybody, yay! You see? Or, yay! For the environment. Or, yay! You know, depends on where you're at. See? Wherever you're pointing, wherever you're expressing, wherever you are generating energy out from, you will take and put that color of clothes on. You will have that color of clothes in your environment. You'll have those colors on your walls. You will have that color of automobile. You will have that kind of office equipment. You will run around with people that have those colors. And you won't quite like some of them that don't have those colors, but you won't know why, you see. But now you know why. The clothes is the outcropping. Did you ever see something on somebody say that just doesn't fit? I mean, where'd she ever get that blouse? It doesn't go with her no how, you know. Or that dress, look at that. She looks like a dredger. Colors make the difference. Be natural. Raise your gaze. Now on the gazes, this week we want to give you a gaze, as we gave to you last week. This week, the gaze is to concentrate on the four sheets of the aura. To gaze on the four sheets of the aura. Now this has to be not only a physiological gaze in this manner, but it must be a mental gaze as well for you to get the consciousness of it. And so you're mentally gazing on your whole physical body. Now, if you want to, you can stand in front of a mirror, but you must eliminate the clothes. They have an aura. Take all your clothes off and stand in front of the mirror and gaze between your ear and your shoulder. Gaze right there in the mirror, right like you're looking between your ear and your shoulders, right there like a hand is there. And if you take the hand away, you're still gazing at that spot. As you gaze there nude, you will begin to see the auric light around your head. If you go look at it, if you move your eyes over to look at it, you're going to lose it. And if you keep batting your eyes, you're going to lose it. But a soft, steady gaze, not a stare, but a soft, steady gaze, you'll start seeing, you'll penetrate the aura. You may look a little strange if someone comes in and sees you in front of the mirror, looking at yourself nude, but you tell them, I'm watching my etheric. As you get deeper into this consciousness, if you look about 6 inches over your head, pretty soon you begin to see the light around the head. If you watch your chest, you begin to see the light around your chest, you see. So gaze upon this auric sheath. Gaze in these points that we've showed you in the aura, the four sheaths generated by the four parts of your nervous system. Feel yourself on your central nervous system, on your autonomic, your sympathetic and parasympathetic levels. Just feel yourself becoming finer and finer and finer, better and better. And every day and every way, you're getting better and better. Remember to keep up your breath control. Continue the breath on the third eye, breathing in and out the third eye. You may start by feeling it at the end of your nose here and then taking it up to the middle of your forehead, concentrating as if you're breathing in and out of your third eye. I want to thank you all for participating in this beautiful course of astrophysics. We have found it very greatly rewarding to us in our life. And we've seen many, many beautiful people unfolding to master consciousness and unfolding their higher abilities as we've been moving around this planet for many years now. And we thank you with great love and respect for being with us. May God's great and Holy Spirit guide you. May you always live and move and have your being in the light, forever sustained in the presence, we pray. Amen and amen. Om Tetsa Om.